I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Galatians in the chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want you to follow us, the reading of God's Word, please. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. This is indeed the Word of God. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We end our reading there, and we want you to keep your Bibles open, and we know that God will bless His Word to our hearts that we have read for the glory of His great and precious name. I suppose one of the most tragic things that can happen to a man as this, is for a man to believe something all his life, and then when he comes to the end of the journey of life, to find out that what he trusted in and what he believed in was wrong. For a man to face the inevitable reality of death, and the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And for a person to hold on to something during the journey of life, and when he comes to die, to find that what he has been relying upon was nothing more than a refuge of lies. What an awful tragedy. And yet, my friend, do you know that multitudes in Ulster tonight are doing that? Do you know that the vast majority of humanity tonight are doing that very same thing? And when they come to the end of the journey, to find out that what they trusted in was nothing but a failure. That what they had believed in was nothing but false, it was untrue. And what they had trusted in was erroneous doctrine. It was the doctrine of devil, it was nothing else, only falsehood, the falsehoods of Satan itself. You know, the vast majority of people If you were to ask them, you know, do you believe or do you want to go to heaven whenever you die? The vast majority would say yes. I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. And you ask them, do they think they'll get to heaven or do they believe they'll get there? They will say, oh, I hope I'll get there. And you ask them, well, how do you think you're getting there? Or how do you expect to get there? Well, they say, I'm trying to do the best I can. In other words, it is the erroneous doctrine and teaching of the salvation by works. And friend, the tragedy is this, that multitudes in Ulster today are trying, and across the world, are trying to get to heaven through this false teaching that they're relying upon. It is a salvation by works. And when you study the Word of God here, you will find that this was creeping in amongst the church at Galatia. If you read the third and fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, you will find that Paul was very strong. In actual fact, the third and fourth chapter was some of the strongest writings that Paul ever penned, because Paul was in the midst of a battle. He was in a battle to prove that salvation is by grace and is not by the works of the law. There were those opponents of the gospel that had crept in amongst the Galatian people and had sought to turn and take captive the Galatian church. And Paul was fighting against the erroneous teaching. And let me tell you, when you read the third and fourth chapter, he wasn't doing it in a half-hearted way. He really meant to fight the battle and contend earnestly for the faith. For the devil will do anything and everything to stop the work of God, and to stop the simplicity of the gospel being preached to men and women, that salvation is in Christ alone, through faith alone. And the battle's raging to this very day. And friend, there are many tonight that are caught up in a salvation of works, a salvation by works. And somehow they believe that they will, by their workings, get to heaven. They hope to gain the prize of heaven. Millions and millions of humanity are trying to walk that path, and friend, let me tell you, sadly, they fail. You say, works, you know, what I'm trying to do is gain the favor of God, and by the sweat of my brow, and by the labors of my hand, and by my efforts, that somehow that God will have mercy upon me, and at the end He will weigh my works. And in the one scale He'll weigh my bad and evil works, and in the other scale He will weigh my good works. And by my efforts, I will try to ensure that my good works outweigh the bad ones, and God will open heaven's gate and say, come on in. Let me tell you, friend, that's of the devil. That's not what the judgment is about at all. And the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that salvation is not through the works of the law. But Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, it is not of works. Now how does the verse finish, friend? Lest any man should boast. You'll never work your way to heaven, friend. You'll work your way to hell. No man can be saved by works of obedience to the law. It will never, and it can never, bring salvation to your soul. If you look there in the 10th verse of Galatians 3, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And friend, every man is therefore in their lives, and by the lives that they live and by their sinful action, every man is a lawbreaker. Every man's a lawbreaker. How can a man or a soul be saved by works of the law, when every man by the works of the law, he is condemned because he breaks the law of God? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26 or 27, verse 26, it says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be he, it says, that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And friend, there's not one in this gathering tonight but have to acknowledge and have to admit they have not continued in all the law of God. They have not lived in accordance to the Word of God and the law which God has given. No one will succeed. None have and none will. And we are condemned as transgressors of the law of God, as the law breakers. Look at verse 11 of chapter 3. "For that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." That's the quotation that Paul uses from Habakkuk chapter 2 and the verse number 4. We are not justified by the works of the law, but salvation is of free and sovereign grace, the grace of God alone. Let me tell you, friend, under the law, God demands righteousness. Under grace, God gives righteousness. That's the difference. Under the law, God demands it. "Thou shalt not." But every one of us know in our hearts and in our lives we have. "Thou shalt." But every one of us know in our lives we have not. We have broken the law of God. Now, of course, after salvation and after conversion, we do good works. But we do them because we are already saved, not in order to be saved. It is a salvation that works, not a salvation of works. Because no man is justified by the law, but the just shall live by faith. Now the question is this then. If a man is not justified by the works of the law, then how can a man be saved? If a man is under judgment, if a man is condemned, how can a man stand in the ground of justification, just as if he never sinned? Go to verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." I want this evening to bring three thoughts to your attention. First of all, the curse. Secondly, the cure. And thirdly, the confidence. Let's look at it first of all, verse 13. The curse of the law. The curse of the law. Now in verse 10 it says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them."
And so in that verse, we are identified as being cursed. You say, what does that mean, preacher? What does it mean for a man to be cursed? It means, friend, that you are under the wrath and under the judgment of the lawgiver. You are under the wrath of the lawgiver. In the book of Romans chapter 3, it makes it abundantly clear that everyone's in the same situation. In Romans chapter 3 verse 10, it says, there is none righteous. No, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And so the word of God brings it very clear before us that every man in the state of nature is in the same situation. Look at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty before God. All the world, every man, there is none righteous. And every man is guilty before God. And that guilt brings the curse of God upon us. We have broken the law of God. God is a jealous God of His law. He's jealous of His statutes. He's jealous of His judgments. Those who break God's law must be dealt with accordingly. And we stand condemned because the law condemns us. But friend, there's another problem. Because man's without excuse. We're without excuse. We can't say, oh God, we don't know. We didn't know your law. We didn't know we were responsible beings. The Bible tells us God has placed eternity, set eternity in our hearts. And even the man in the darkest regions of the world acknowledged there's a God. The Bible says the very heavens declare. They make a declaration from heaven, stand under the stars. And when you look up at them, friends, at night time, it makes a declaration there's a God. You look at creation. You stand at the side of a little child and you realize, as the psalmist said, it is fearfully and wonderfully made. And my friend, the very creation of God cries out and makes a declaration of the glory of God, the handiwork of God. But we are without excuse. You see, there's the warnings. Remember when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, friend? In the second chapter of the book of Genesis? What did God say to Adam? Did He give him a warning? Was Adam excused because of a sin? God says in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The warning of God. And God gave the warning, and it's clear. When God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, God set the boundaries very clear, and God says, thou shalt not, and God says, thou shalt, and the boundaries were very clear. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord thy God shall not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Man can't hold up his hands and say, oh God, I didn't know. God will not hold you guiltless. Man has been warned through God's precious word. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 11. We have there in verse 1 the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant." Verse 3, "Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant." Verse 9, "And the Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their fathers, which refused to hear my words. They went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, have broken my covenants." Verse 11, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." The warnings of God. I hear somebody say, "But isn't God a God of love?" Oh, yes, He is. You see, my friend, let me tell you this. People have got this idea. This is what God, and this is who God is. God's sitting up there in the heavens, and God's just handing out gifts to people. And you can forget about Him. And but God will always be there. And let me tell you, whenever your back's against the wall and you get into trouble, or your body starts to fall apart and you get into ill health, then He'll be there just to heal. He'll be there just to help whenever you're in trouble. That's the kind of God, a God that's sitting in the heavens handing out these little things, these goodies to humanity. Let me tell you, my friend, God is a God of love, yes. And thank God He so loved us. And He showed that love in the giving of His own Son and sending Him to the cross of Calvary, that our sins might be blotted out, never to be remembered against us anymore. But God is a God of holiness, and God is a God of justice. And a righteous and a holy God loves a sinner, but He hates your sin, friend. Don't forget that. And your sin will bring the curse to the lawbreaker. Cursed is he that continueth not. And the lawbreaker, my friend, comes under the curse of God. Some people say, "Oh yes, preacher, whenever I think of God cursing humanity and God bringing judgment upon them, that's the God of the Old Testament. That's not the God of the New Testament, friend. Don't be a fool." In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and verse 41, it says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed." God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He is a God that changeth not. There's the warnings. There's a wrath. Not only does God warn men, but let me tell you, God performs it. There's a wee book there in the Old Testament. It's the book of Nahum. And in the book of Nahum, chapter 1, let me read to you what it says in verse 2. "God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth, the Lord vengeth, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger. He is great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind, and in the storms and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, the hills melt. The earth burned at his presence, yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. That's the God friend of wrath. And the curse of God brings the burning anger and indignation of God upon the sinner. That's the end of the ungodly path. That's the end. That's what's in front of the unconverted man or woman. Let me tell you, men may mock at sin tonight. Men may laugh at sin. But let me tell you what the Holy God does. The Holy God judges sin. He doesn't laugh at it. And when you're laughing at your sin, friend, God's not laughing with you. God is a jealous God. He's a God who will bring judgment upon those who sin against him. For our God is a consuming fire. Psalm 50 verse 22 says, "Now consider this," in other words, "beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." Godly Edwards preached, and the anointing of the Spirit of God in the text of Scripture, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Friend, what is it to fall into the hands of the living God? Do you remember the days of Noah? Mankind fell into the hands of the living God, friend, and let me tell you, God opened the heavens and the rains descended and the people were swept away in God's judgment and they went out to hell. And the Bible says in the book of the Psalms, chapter 9, verse 17, "And the wicked were cast into hell, and all nations forget God." Let me tell you, I fear for some men and women, even in gospel meetings like this, because let me tell you, they want to forget God. And the Bible says, "The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God." And friend, when we talk about all nations, we're talking about you too. And they were swept away. And only those that were hidden in God's ark were saved. What is it to fall into the hands of God, friend? Listen, think about the cities on the plain. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God looked down on that scene and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah arose in the nostrils of God. And God consumed the city. They were utterly consumed. The cities and the plain, when they fell into the hands of a living God, under the curse of a broken law. That were you sitting tonight, friend? Condemned under the curse, guilty of breaking the law of God. We have the warnings. We have the wrath, we have the witnesses. If I could bring forth tonight witnesses to this pulpit and ask them this question, is it true? If I could put summons to eternity and bring someone from the eternal beyond of darkness and ask them, is it true? Is the wrath of God real? Does God really mean it? I would bring forth Cain. And I would say, Cain, didn't God say, "Thou shalt not kill"? He said, "Yes. But I broke God's law." Did it pay? Or did it bring condemnation? And I turn the pages of holy truth and I can hear Cain cry out these words, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." What did he say? He said it to God. He says, "Oh God, my punishment is greater than I can bear." Let me tell you, friend, it's nothing like the punishment he endures in hell itself tonight. Under the condemnation of the broken law. I turn to the pages of the New Testament. I see a man that has got everything that money can buy. He fares sumptuously every day. But he has no time for God. I summons him from the darkness of the beyond. And I say to him, testify to this people. Is it real? Is the wrath of God real? Is the judgment of God real? And I hear him cry in the book of Luke's Gospel 16, I am tormented. I am tormented in this flame. And friend, he's never stopped crying it. Jesus told that story 2,000 years ago. And let me tell you, my friend, down in the depths of hell, there's a man who turned his back on God. And they forgot God, and he was cast into hell. And he cries, I am tormented. Ah, but you say, preacher, surely that thing's all over. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And the Lord Jesus is speaking again of that day when man will stand before God. And this is what he says. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Notice, friend, listen. These shall go away. Let me tell you, there's no return journey. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And there's no return journey. Away from hope. Away from help. Away from grace. Away from mercy. Away from the gospel. Some of you, maybe tonight, if you're honest, you wish you're away from it. Because you don't really like the gospel preaching. But let me tell you, I'll guarantee you something, friend. There'll come a day, if you die in your sin, there'll come a day that you'll cry to God in hell, oh God, to hear it one more time. If I could only hear it! One more opportunity! One more chance! To hear the gospel! To feel the tugging of the Spirit of God in my soul. But friend, notice the words. These shall go away. There's no return journey. There's no second chance. This is God's opportunity, friend. And you're getting it tonight. You're getting it tonight. And these shall go away. The curse, but quickly. Maybe there's someone says to me, preacher, what a tragedy. Is there no hope? Then let me tell you the cure. In Galatians chapter 3, yes, it speaks about the curse of the law. But thank God when you read the verse, this is what it says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's the cure. There's the cure. And you know where the cure is found? Listen, notice the first word. Christ. There's the answer. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we can find in Christ redemption. For Christ hath redeemed us. The work's done. The work's done. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, the marvelous, oh, the matchless grace of God, friend. The cure.
God's purpose. And you know, God has purposed to redeem a people to Himself. God has purposed to save a people. But praise God, He who is holy, not only has a purpose, the redemption of men and women, but praise God, He had a program by which man could be redeemed. And here it is, friend. Read the verse again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And so if we have the program of God to redeem us to Himself, or the purpose of God to redeem us, what is the program? The program is that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. You see, for man to be redeemed, for man to be bought back from the slave market of sin, one must suffer the consequences of the broken law. There's no cheap way of redemption, friend. Someone must suffer the consequences of the broken law. I have broken the law of God. And because I have broken the law of God, I come under the curse and the condemnation of that law. And I stand guilty before God. But for me to be redeemed, for me to be saved, someone must suffer the consequences of the broken law. That means that someone must stand in the place of the lawbreaker, in the place of you, in the place of me. And friend, that's the heart of the gospel. And it's this: Christ. Christ being made a curse for us. I think of the words of Isaiah the prophet, when God said, "Whom shall I send? And who shall go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." And friend, let me tell you, no angel could redeem us, neither did they offer. But Jesus, God's Son, who from all eternity was in the bosom of the Father, and in the fullness of time came to the bosom of a woman and humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant. He said, "Father, here am I. Send me." And the spotless, the holy Lamb of God, friend, came from heaven to earth to redeem us. But listen to me. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Listen to these words. Being made a curse for us. You see, if someone's going to take the place of the lawbreaker, he must be seen as such. Now listen to the word of God, friend. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, that's God, hath made Him to be sin for us
who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. I tremble to speak those words. He hath made Him. That's the holy, spotless Son of God that God hath made Him to be sin for us. Have you ever thought, friend, the cost of your redemption? What it meant for the Son of God to redeem you? Sinner, have you ever thought for one moment the cost, what it meant to God's Son, God's holy Son, God's spotless Son, He who was God's from all eternity, to become man? But friend, have you thought of what it meant to be made sin for us? What humiliation! What condescension! But oh, what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that His Son would be made sin for us. Isaiah the prophet put it like this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquities of us all. My sins were reckoned to Christ. He was made a curse for us. And on the cross I hear Him cry, He who was in the bosom of the Father enjoyed the presence and smile of His Father from all eternity. And He cries, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And the wages of sin is death. And He was punished as the transgressor. And God dealt with our sin in Christ. Friend, I'm going to finish tonight the confidence. Let me tell you, Christ hath redeemed us. Thank God He finished the work. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to heaven tonight. And let me tell you, no one will ever be able to stop me. Because my Savior has paid in full the price for my sin. In whom I have redemption through His blood. Acts chapter 13 and the verse 38 says these words: be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him, all that believe are justified
from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Thank God through Him. Through Him. And the last verse is Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 says, there is no difference, 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's not a salvation of works tonight. By grace you're saved through faith. Faith in God's Son. Resting upon the finished work. Thank God I need no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And hallelujah, He died for a sinner like me. Will you come to Him, friend? By faith will you come? Will you rest in Him? Not of works, lest any man should boast. But by the undeserved, the unmerited, free, sovereign grace of God. What a God. Thursday night we're looking at a faithful God. Oh, what a Savior. May God give you grace to come to Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy Word this evening. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou will write this word in the hearts of those that have come. We pray that Thou will give deciding grace, that not one will leave without knowing Jesus. As our heads are bowed, friend, and our eyes are closed, O look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved. Unto Him that was nailed to the tree. Will you come to Him? You say, preacher, how can I? How do I come? You come by faith. You come just as you are, a sinner, condemned, guilty, unclean. But praise God, you come to the Savior. And He'll do the work in your heart. Thank God He did the work at the cross. And He'll make that work of His cross real in your soul. And you'll be born again of His Holy Spirit, and you'll be washed in His precious blood. And you'll be justified in His sight. Oh, come to Christ. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we sing the one little verse. Just as I am without one plea, and as we sing this verse, friend. If there's a man, a woman, a young person in the service, you say, preacher, tonight God has spoken to my heart. Would you lead me to Jesus? I need the Lord Jesus. I have been trying my best. But tonight God has pulled the scales away. He's pulled the rug from under my feet. Because I'll never get to heaven by the works of my hands. By grace. By grace alone. Through Christ alone. O Lamb of God, I come. And if there's one, would you just slip that hand above your head, friend? Indicate that desire. Preacher, here's my hand, so going to heaven. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. Don't be afraid or ashamed. You ought to be afraid and ashamed of turning your back on Him. You ought to be ashamed and afraid, friend, of saying no to Him. You have no reason to be afraid or ashamed of coming to Him. O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am.
As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If there's one tonight in this gathering, you say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. And by His grace, I'm coming tonight. Lead me to Christ, preacher. Lead me to the Lord Jesus. Would you lift that hand right now above your head? Upstairs or downstairs? wherever you're sitting tonight.
Is there someone? Preacher, lead me to Christ. We're here as God's servant to help you. I'll be in the minister's room, slip around the side of the building, friend, into the door at the side. Or through the door here at the front, but don't go away without Jesus. You can miss the church, but if you miss Christ, you'll be lost. Oh God, thank you for providing for us redemption through the blood of your Son. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and standing in my room and in my stead and dying in my guilty room instead, purchasing for me eternal life. Blessed Spirit of God, thank you for bringing the good news of that gospel to my heart and for bringing me to Christ. Oh God, bring many more. In Jesus' name.